This is the North Shore High School Football Scoreboard Show. I'm Bill Newell, and with us right now, Marty Smith. And we don't have the whole team with us this weekend, but maybe somebody will join in a few moments. We never know. But, Marty, we were at two North Championship games yesterday, Saturday, the Division III game in which English fell to Tewksbury, a team that you saw last weekend, and then Hamilton-Wenham fell to Stoneham also yesterday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. Let me begin with you, since you've got a couple of games this week to talk about, and we have all the scores up on the post. They're down at the bottom of this post if you're listening to the Scoreboard Show. But Marty, the whole Hamilton-Wenham thing, it turns out that there's a key injury in that game, which probably had some impact on it.
Yeah, it did. Hamilton-Wenham lost their starting quarterback, Billy Whalen, in the third to an injury, and there's some published reports that he has a broken bone in his shoulder, and he was not the usual performance that we had seen out of Coffee in the earlier games we've covered. We noticed that the throws just weren't as pinpoint as they had been in earlier games. He was having some time to throw, but the completions weren't there, and then he was definitely favoring one side and came out of the game. It brought in Hunter Wilichowski, who then fired the ball down. He was responsible for the scoring drives that got Hamilton-Wenham on the board and ultimately in the lead, only eventually to have Stoneham come back in the last few minutes of the game and take the lead and ultimately go on to win.
You know, the game that you were at, that game, the Hamilton-Wenham-Stoneham game, was very similar in a way to the Lynn English game. Lynn English against Tewksbury, just really frustrated. I think Tewksbury was able to take the Bulldogs out of their offense. They just didn't have things going. Each team's defense was so strong. Only score in the first half came with just seconds left, really, in the first half, minutes left in the first half by Tewksbury. And that's reminiscent, I think, of the game a week ago that you were at where Danvers scored right at the end of the first half to make it 21-7, I think it was, at that point.
I think you're correct.
Yeah, to creep back into the game. Not a complete parallel situation, but a score right at the end when your two defenses have played so well was a little bit of a little difficult to take, I'm sure, for the Bulldogs. But they came back. They gave it a fight. They took the lead in the second half, Marty, and then only to have Tewksbury come back and explode and run down the field and score with about a minute and a half left. The details are up on our post. And so it was kind of a frustrating, two different halves for Lynn English, frustrating in both halves, I guess. But they had it doesn't take away the great season that they had. But also congratulations to Tewksbury. Last week, Marty, you had mentioned, I think they'd lost their that number one, one of their top running backs, just a couple of days before the Danvers game. But I guess they've had time. Coach Aylward was talking when he was talking with Rick Moore. They had time to adjust to that loss this week, so they were probably a better prepared team this week. And, of course, they're a very strong team.
Yeah, we came away impressed with Tewksbury in that one. In the game that we saw with Danvers and Tewksbury and in the two games that I saw this past weekend, they have been incredibly close, one score, 2 points one way or another, and in each of the games we've seen the comebacks and the lead change, and then the winning scores coming later in the game. And none of the games that I've seen, one team hasn't led wire to wire and hasn't dominated on the scoreboard. I'd have to say that Stoneham dominated on the field, clearly in terms of times of possession. They had over 30 minutes out of the 44 minutes late in the game. Stoneham had the ball. Their first drive went for over 9 minutes.
Wow. Now, I know Rick has some post-game interviews, videos up there after the game, so those are definitely things to watch. I know Phil Stacey sent a tweet out of how classy Coach Pugh is at Hamilton-Wenham. Win or lose, he's willing to talk and discuss things. I got a few other scores here, Marty. D1, the North final last night, Everett over Central Catholic, 37-29. And in the D8 game, Cathedral beat Lynn Tech at Manning Field. That's the first loss of the year for Coach James Runner and Lynn Tech. They were beaten by Cathedral 20-6. We do have a post up on our website earlier this week with talking with some of the Tech players, giving them some recognition. We got their whole offensive line and so on. But they had a fantastic year. And so Now, if you and here are some non-playoff games too here, Marty. Beverly over Westford Academy, 26-21. Pentucket beat Burlington 14-12, and Winchester over Medford 33-0. So those are some of the scores. We've got them at the bottom of our webpage here on this post. But I don't know if you want to react to any of those particular scores.
Just from following Beverly through the years, it's just nice to see that they came out of this with a win over the weekend. And one score that we didn't talk about from Friday night was the Salem victory, and that assures that Salem, regardless of Thanksgiving, will have a winning record for this season, and that's been a long time coming for that program.
Yeah, I got to go to one, and let me figure out one more thing here, Marty. Yeah, I got it here. Okay, so St. Mary's, a game that I was at Friday night. Well, you were at the Melrose Marblehead game, so we'll head back to Friday. St. Mary's, now the last Lynn team alive in the playoffs. They defeated Brighton 42-6. The 6 points came a score late in the contest. But St. Mary's had been rolling over their opponents in D6, and so they're on to the next round of the playoffs. And hold on, let me get that here while we're talking about it. We have these brackets up here as well. Although I think I got to punch the right one up here. So St. Mary's is going to be taking on Mashpee. Jeez, I thought Abington won that game. That's funny. I saw that score the other way the other day. But anyways, they've got Mashpee this coming Saturday at 2 o'clock at Braintree High School. So that'll be for the Division 7 state semifinal. So they've got one more game and then possibly on to a Super Bowl in D7. So Coach Matt Durgan, St. Mary's still alive there. Marty, you were at the Melrose Marblehead game, and that was another very close football game.
Yeah, 28-20. The Magicians played well. They were able to contain a good part of the Melrose offense. What they couldn't do was contain Isaac Seide, and he's a little guy. I think 5'6 or 5'7, if I remember correctly. He's 5'8, 185 pounds. When you see him on the field up against the line and the defensive line coming at him, he looks even smaller than that, but he's an electric runner and can slide through holes that, you know, you talk about mice can go through a hole a quarter of an inch. This guy can slide through just about anything, and he kept breaking for big runs. And then when he wasn't breaking for the big ones, they were able to just use him as a decoy and move the ball downfield. He was the key to that football game and to the 28-20 win for Melrose over Marblehead.
Now I got a chance to talk. Well, I've talked to Coach Rudloff a few times this fall, and got a chance to meet Coach Tim Morris from Melrose this week as well, and I guess the two are friends. They obviously have a lot of respect for each other's program, but you know, Melrose, that was a nice win for Melrose. But for Marblehead, I'm thinking that, you know, Coach Rudloff, this, some strange things happened this year with his team. That's probably one of his better coaching efforts this season for Marblehead to even get them to this point in the season.
Well, they needed three quarterbacks, and then it turns out that the quarterback that they went with was kind of the third guy up. That's Tim Clough, normally a wide receiver. There were people in the press box that actually said on Friday night that the kid can't play quarterback and wear number 87. So they were yelling that there needed to be a penalty or something like that. Just pay attention to the game, guys. But he had a tremendous game. He had a tremendous season for him. And I would think if he went back to last August, nobody on the earth thought that he would be playing quarterback this season.
Right. Andy Clough. And he's one of our players of the week earlier this year. But he talk about shoulder injuries. He has a shoulder injury, but it's not in his throwing shoulder. So it's unbelievable. Yeah. Anyways, but congratulations to Melrose. So Melrose now in D3. They go on. Here's what's interesting about this. They go on and play Weymouth, Marty. They go to Weymouth to play Hopkinton in a state semifinal game. They would head on to the Super Bowl if they were to win. But Neshoba, the team in the other bracket, has a bye. Now, I don't ever remember. Do you remember that? I'm not making a crisis out of this at all. But Neshoba has a bye. They don't play a game this coming weekend. But Melrose will have to. They'll have to play Hopkinton if they hope to advance.
Yeah, we had some conversation about that yesterday at the Hamilton-Wenham game about this new alignment now to get more teams in has put up a situation where there aren't representatives in every division, apparently, across the state. So you do have a few divisions this year that they don't have a bye, that they don't have four teams into the semifinals. They just have three. So there's a rotation, apparently, about which division, the north or the south, would get the bye, or these central, whatever they're called.
I see. Well, you're way ahead of me, Marty. Wow.
This has been advanced quantum physics for me this year, which I don't understand at all, but throughout the entire season, we've learned something about this. You know, every writer that we talk to, everybody that we talk to, we learn something a little bit more, something a little bit different, and it's been an evolving knowledge base for us.
Yeah. You know, you go back to the forces. We had a conversation with somebody this weekend about the forces that kind of constructed this playoff system. Maybe Jim O'Leary from St. John's Prep, their AD and football coach, Steve Dombowski, the former Swampscott football coach, and creating more divisions. I mean, it benefits teams like that because the Prep, you know, only, what do they have, like three league games? And so things, you know, it creates a structure for them that's a little bit different. Well, you know, we've been critical of the system, I think, as far as teams that have great leagues. I would think Merrimack Valley would be one of those, Middlesex, Northeastern Conference, Cape Ann League. But on the other hand, I've kind of come around a little bit. I you know, it's been kind of an exciting last several weeks in this playoff system. And you do have kind of matchups that, you know, you've had the Northeastern Conference playing Middlesex League teams and the renewal of this Merrimack Valley. Even though at one point, remember, Marty, there was a thing where the Merrimack Valley and Northeastern Conference were going to pull out of all of this MIAA football stuff and just play each other for a championship at the end of the season. But in a way, it's kind of come down to that as it has been now, in a way, with the Tewksbury battling Northeastern Conference teams the last several years.
Yeah, and it's been the unintended consequences led to really the downplaying of the conference rivalries. Northeastern being broken up into three different groups now, and the intensity of the rivalries has been displaced with the intensity of this playoff system for the teams and for the fans, I think. And it's going to take a while for people just to get used to how all of this works. And then now we've seen Tewksbury three or four years late in the playoffs, but it's been against three different teams.
Yeah.
You don't have necessarily the rivalry there, but you do have the conference being pitted against, the conferences being pitted against each other, as you just said.
And, you know, I wonder how this plays out down the road, whether it's 10 years down the road. If this system continues in there, the Thanksgiving games were big because, yes, they were rivals, but they were also league games. You know, that was the deal. And then you'd have Swampscott, Marblehead, Beverly, Salem, Lynn English, Lynn Classical. That there'd be postseason on the line for these games in some way or another many times. And they were league games. And, if they're not league games, if there's nothing on the line, what does happen to Thanksgiving? I mean, can a tradition just kind of hang on just like the holiday does itself? Maybe. Maybe that's what it'll be.
Yeah, we've certainly seen a decline in attendance at the Thanksgiving games that we've covered over the years. And I don't know if that's due to the conference schedule or just due to the forces of nature that surround everybody's day-to-day lives, and also surrounding the basic game of football at the high school and college level. We don't know that, but you're talking about the conference rivalries on Thanksgiving Day games. I would say that the majority of the time over the years, the conference championship has been decided on Thanksgiving Day. Whether it's somebody going into the championship through a back door because the team that they were tied with lost on their Thanksgiving Day game, or a team went ahead with Beverly and Salem in a conference game, in a conference championship game on Thanksgiving Day. Marblehead and Swampscott have had championship implications. Even Gloucester and Danvers have championship implications. And now it's just, they're playing for the tradition.
Yeah. It's like, will it become just like one of those 30 college bowl games we have every year, like the one that's played on December 18th, that bowl game, you know, that no one really knows about. It's the Marshmallow Fluff Bowl in Nebraska. Yeah. Hey, Fluff is from Lynn, so hey, we love Fluff, but you know, Marty, I got to be honest with you. Speaking of Fluff, I've gone years without having any Fluff, but I've had it. I've had it in the last several weeks. I've had a little Fluff. I've put it back into my menu. It's unbelievable. Wow.
Hot chocolate, you can't beat it.
Yeah, exactly, right. And so there you go. Get the low-fat hot chocolate, and it's like I'm a middle school girl. I don't know what that meant. But anyway, once in a while. Yeah, but Fluff's back, you know. Actually, there's a book out on Fluff, too. But So anyway, Marty, that's where I'm getting at. I just worry down the road. And plus, football's running up against these all this concussion stuff, and there's a wave going against it. So who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, and there's been discussion about that this season, and we've looked at the numbers, the number of players that the teams have, and some of it's the enrollments are falling in different cities, but certainly the turnout to play the game has dwindled over time.
Well, you know, maybe at this point we'll probably put the wraps on it. I just point out that we do have a number of different posts up there. We have links. We have MIAA brackets that you can go to, the state brackets now for football, and the north brackets if you want to check out any of the scores and the brackets of how teams progress. That's all available to you on our website. But also maybe at this time it would be a great time for us to thank all the coaches for all the time and help that they've given us, the athletic directors as well around the North Shore. That have been so great to us this year. We do thank you for that. And we've done a lot of games this year, and it goes, hey, one more thing, Marty. Our website hits have really skyrocketed here in the last several days, so a lot of folks are checking us out again this year for this time of year, and we'll hope to continue on. We'll be announcing some of our playoff stuff, but we've got Thanksgiving games coming up, and we'll see what happens next weekend. But we'll continue to follow North Shore Sports. And also, do email us if you have any comments or suggestions. There's an email link on the top right-hand side of our page. I believe it's up there now. But there is an email link, and you'll find it at the top of the webpage, and also contact us. So that's what I have to say, Marty.
And I just want to second your thought about the cooperation we've had from the coaches and the ADs and the folks at all of these sites that have welcomed us and allowed us to be a part of their afternoon, as if people that have joined us, whether listening live or listening on the recorded broadcast. It's really a pleasure to be a part of your day.
I hope I'm not missing anybody out, but good luck to Stoneham, good luck to Melrose, and of course St. Mary's of Lynn. They have a big season as well, so good luck to all of those teams as they advance into the to the next round of the playoffs. Well, that's it. Our football scoreboard show this weekend, along with Marty Smith. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us. This is, don't forget to join Rick Moore, and I don't know if Tim Kearns will be there on Monday night, but the North Shore Sports Night Show, Monday night at 7 o'clock. They had a fantastic show last week with a number of different coaches. In fact, you can go back and listen to it, but I heard it was a great show. And anyways, that's all coming up Monday night at 7 o'clock. And along with Marty, I'm Bill Newell here on MSO News Sports.